Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, Yatharu, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 2, text 10. Tam uvacha hishikesha prasan eva bharata senaya ubhiya madhye vishidantam idam vachaha. O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Purport. The talk was going on between intimate friends, namely the Rishikesh and the Gurakesh. As friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. As Lord of all, he was always in the superior position as the master of everyone, and yet the Lord agrees to be a friend, a son, or a lover for a devotee who wants him in such a role. But when he was accepted as the master, he at once assumed the role and talked with the disciple like the master, with gravity as it is required. It appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the presence of both armies so that all were benefited. So the talks of Bhagavad Gita are not for any particular person, society or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them. This is the last verse of Bhagavad Gita before Krishna begins to speak. His instructions. He's spoken already in Bhagavad Gita, his speaking has been recorded. But his instruction, he speaks before this, Kutastra Krishna Lamidam Vishame Samipastita. Anaya Drishtama Svagyama Kirti Karamarjuna. That why are you acting like a rascal, he said to Arjuna. But now his transcendental instructions will be given, starting with differentiating the soul from the body. Prabhupada comments here that the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are meant for everyone. Generally, we consider Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. But we know it is not restricted to Arjuna. Anyone can take advantage of this. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, after speaking what Krishna describes as his most confidential instruction, Shrinome Paramam Vachaha, Krishna says, I'm speaking to you several times, he says. This is my supreme instruction. And each time he goes on to a higher level. But after speaking this at the end of the Mangana Bhagavata, always thinking that he become Mangavata, he warns Arjuna on one hand, he says that this should not be spoken to those who are envious of me, or not austere, or not engaged in devotional service. But here Prabhupada says that this should be, anyone can take advantage, anyone can hear Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna and the soldiers in the Pandava army heard, and the soldiers in the Kuru army also. In the Pandava army, there were saintly persons headed by the Pandavas. And there was at least one demon in the Pandava army, namely Gadodhkatsu. He was actually Rakshas. Born of Bhima, but because the son takes on the mother's nature, his mother Vibhimba, is Rakshasa. So he's actually of this sinful nature. Due to affection for Bhima, he fought. He was eventually, when he was eventually killed by who? By Drona, was it?
Karna.
You're using Karna's special weapon. He fell down there, and Arjuna said, "Oh, this is very bad." He said, "No, it's not bad, it's good. If Karna hadn't killed him, I would have to kill him myself." He said to Bhima. And on the Kuru side, was headed by Duryodhana, but there were some respectable and saintly people there also as well, particularly why Arjuna didn't want to fight. Guruna Hadva, Himahanava, Shayam Bhutta, Bhikshamapihalo, okay, it's better to beg in this world and live than to kill gurus like Bhishma and Drona. Shalya was also well wisher, uncle, guru figure. He was tricked into joining Duryodhana's party. He actually came to join the Pandavas, but by trickery, he joined the other party. Ashwatthama, even though of evil disposition, was like a guru, and he was the same age as the Pandavas, but he was of evil. He was considered a guru because of being born as a Brahmin. Guru Putra, Atmavai Putra, one is born again as one's own son. So there were Kripacharya, who was also a guru, he was in the opposing party. So all had the opportunity to hear, both friends and enemies. Well, at the end of Gita, Krishna said, "Idam taina tapaskaya." This is not for everyone. So what does this mean? This means anyone can hear Bhagavad Gita, but not everyone will hear the same thing. Not everyone will understand it in the same way. There's a saying by the English mystic poet William Blake, who you probably, apart from Bhakti Ravan, probably none of you have heard of, and myself. Anyway, he said that we both read the Bible day and night, but where you see black, I see white. Reading the same thing, but understanding something different. In the Upanishads, there's the story of how Indra and Virochana approach. Virochana was the king of the demons. They both approach Lord Brahma for Atma-gyan. So Brahma instructed, the Atma is the body. It's true. One of the definitions of Atma is body. Atma can mean body, can mean mind, can mean Jivatma, can mean Bhagavan, Paramatma. So Atma has various meanings. So the lowest meaning, first of all, Brahma explained, and Virocha said, "That's good. I am this body. That's very good. I'm glad to know that. Thank you very much. Goodbye." And Brahma said, "That's good, we got rid of him." And Indra said, "You think there's something a little higher than this, that we're the body?" Then he instructed him, "Actual Atma-gyan. We are not the body, we are the soul." So he instructed the same thing to Virochana and to Indra, but Virochana understood it in one way and Indra understood, this is not, there's more than this. Virochana went away to engage in bodily activities and Indra stayed on to learn about spiritual activities. So we see this Bhagavad Gita is very widely distributed. Yet Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam." This is the king of all knowledge. It is the most secret of all secrets. What secret? You can get Bhagavad Gita anywhere. They're all over the world. In so many, there are so many different editions. How many editions has Gita Press put out? Lakhs and so many. Now, previously they just did in Hindi, and now and then in English, and now they have in Tamil, Telugu, Oriya, Canada probably also, isn't it? Gita Press, they're doing Canada editions. They're doing in all the major languages of India. So how many languages they've put out Bhagavad Gita? But how many people understand Bhagavad Gita yatharup as it is? How many people understand? Simply by reading. Even if you read the translation put out by Gita Press or anyone else, you won't understand. Arjuna understood. But most people, just if you get the edition, if you just get the verses of Bhagavad Gita, we won't understand. Even if the translation is a faithful one, we won't understand. Arjuna was able, he was a fit person to understand. Why did Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? You would have thought he would have spoken it to Yudhishthira, isn't it? Because among the Pandavas, Yudhishthira was more philosophically inclined, it seemed, than Arjuna. Arjuna was more an action man. Not unphilosophical, but more active. He was more get out and do things. And Yudhishthira was the thoughtful one. He was always considering, is this right? Is that, he's known as Dharma. He was the son of Dharmaputra, Dharma. All right, Vyasadeva was present in the world at that time. He still is, but at that time he was showing himself more than he does now. Now he's up at Bhadrak Ashram somewhere, but we don't see him. He's still there. He's Chiranjeevi. Ashwatthama, he's also. So Vyasadeva was there. Why Krishna didn't speak to Vyasadeva? Why he spoke to Arjuna? Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam he karita. You are my devotee and my friend, therefore you can understand. What he spoke to Arjuna, that was relevant for the people of the world. You might say, well, why didn't Krishna speak to the gopis or the Vrajvasis? Well, he did. Krishna did through Uddhava. He spoke knowledge of yoga and distinguishing between matter and spirit. For the Vrajvasis, they wrote, that was superfluous for them, because they were already fully on the platform. Arjuna also, but Arjuna was for Krishna, on Krishna's behalf, setting the example of Swakarmana Tanabhyacha Siddhim Vindati Nanana. How to remain in one's occupational position and serve Krishna. So Arjuna was setting it, he was in one sense like us, like an ordinary person who's perplexed what to do, what not to do. We are all in this situation. What should we do in this world? What is the purpose of life? What's it all about? Just like it says on the poster out there. Come to the Bhagavad Gita lecture and get all your questions answered. Kamla Mega Kropati. They think you answer all the questions and you become a Kropati. Rather, we answer all the questions and become a servant of Krishna. We don't. That's the mistake. The materialistic people think we'll learn everything and then we shall control. You get a degree in Manipal and then you get so-called good job. Getting a good job means you're controlled by someone else. So this, all questions answered. Yes, you come, all your questions are answered. How is that? Yoma Yena Samruho Janati Purushottamam Sasaravati Vajati Maam. Krishna says, one who understands me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we just understand this, then we know everything. You know everything? That means I should, without, you just read Bhagavad Gita, and then you come in without studying, you sit down and go in the medical examination and you pass. Is it? No, not like that. Means, you know, everything means everything is seen in perspective. You understand? Who is Krishna? Who am I? What is our relation? Everything is in perspective. This is what is described in Bhagavad Gita. This is being spoken through Arjuna. Arjuna is the right person to understand this. Others may hear Bhagavad Gita, but mostly they misunderstand, misinterpret. They don't get the same result. At least until recently, there were many people in India, still there are some, who know all the verses of Bhagavad Gita. There's a famous guru in North India. He's famous among the Maharalis anyway. Gita Press is also popularized him. Ram Sukhdas Ji Maharaj. So he trains his disciples. They know all the verses of Gita. Chant chapter 7, they'll chant. Chant it backwards, they'll chant. But, and the word but comes. Have they understood what is the message of Bhagavad Gita? It's not simply by book knowledge. Certainly this knowledge is required. Without knowledge, we cannot understand Krishna. This Bhagavad Gita is given to us so that we can understand Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us so that we can understand Krishna. Knowing this is required. But it is not simply an academic method. If we think, just like I study in Manipal, I get my degree, so I'll sit down and read Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, I read it, yeah. I learned. I know Bhagavad Gita. Not like that. You cannot say, I know Bhagavad Gita. I am. Parchokam. Oh, finished. Already over. No. We can read Bhagavad Gita all our life and not come to the end. How is that? It's only 700 verses. Should be able to finish easily in 2-3 hours. And what are you saying? Read all your life. Because it's unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. Knowledge of Krishna is unlimited. What Gita is giving is entrance into bhakti. We can say Gita is bhakti praveshika. Entrance into bhakti, which is unlimited. So who will understand Bhagavad Gita? One has to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. If we don't understand as it is, that means we understand it as it isn't. And if we understand Bhagavad Gita as it isn't, then it isn't Bhagavad Gita. That's simple logic, isn't it? If we understand, in other words, if we understand in a different way to how Krishna explains, then we never understood at all. Some people think Bhagavad Gita is an intellectual treatise that Krishna has spoken, and we take it and we just juggle it around in our minds and we come up with whatever we like. Then there's no need for Krishna to speak on it. Then anyway we can just juggle anything in him. Why Bhagavad Gita? Why? What is the authority of Krishna? What is this? What is this specialness of Krishna? Why should we take Bhagavad Gita seriously if we can just interpret it in any way we like? That means we're not taking it seriously. That this edition is Bhagavad Gita as it is, we can understand that Krishna says the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to become his devotee. And no one became a devotee by reading so many editions of Bhagavad Gita in the Western world until Gita as it is came, then so many people became devotees. So that's the difference. Bhagavad Gita we have to hear from devotees. All the Shastras, Srimad Bhagavata Saranatam Ashvado Rasikaya Saha. We should relish the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees who are expert in relishing. Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. Gita should be studied thoroughly first. But even Bhagavatam we won't understand. Even it's clearly delineating Krishna. We won't understand it unless we associate with devotees. That's why Swarup Damodara Goswami, the intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told, Jao Bhagavata Paro Vaishnava Sthane Chaitanya Charanashra. What is it? Chaitanya Charanashra Karo Kanta. Karo Kanta. Take full shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the devotees. At this point I was making last night, and we have to hear. Now, Arayam Nama Iva Kevalam, Kirtan is the only way in Kali Yuga. But we'll actually, if we see how Prabhupada was preaching in the world when he met people, he didn't, usually when he met people and spoke with them, he didn't tell them, chant Hare Krishna. Didn't tell them. He only told people to chant Hare Krishna. But many times he wouldn't. Everything he said was to get people to chant Hare Krishna. Many times he'd speak with them philosophy. First of all, try to convince you're not the body like this. If you see, we have all Prabhupada's conversations. Generally he would speak philosophy to try to make them understand why we should chant Hare Krishna. To understand we're not the body. Life is not meant for enjoying the senses. So, first, hearing, understand. There should be some initial understanding. Otherwise we can chant. We should encourage them. There are many people who, due to, especially Hindus, especially those from Vaishnava background, what we call Vaishnava, term Vaishnava, in terms of Hindu society, it's a very general term. We say people from Vaishnava background. That means by family tradition, they are Vaishnava. So all over India we find. In this area, there are many Vaishnavas by family tradition, from Madhva Sampradaya. In Tamil Nadu, also Madhvas were more Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. In other parts of Karnataka, also Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. In Gujarat and Rajasthan, we find more Vallabh Sampradaya. Then in Orissa, Bengal, we find the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauriya. Then in North India, we find Ramanandis, who are supposed to be some kind of Vaishnava. They were Urdhva Kunda, Vaishnava Timur. So, by family tradition, they are inclined to worship Krishna in his different form, Vishnu. You find in Andhra Pradesh some temples of Nrisimhadev. So many people go to Tirumala for worshipping Srinivas. So that by family tradition, we can say Vaishnava. Vishnu asya devata iti Vaishnava. One who considers that my God is Vishnu, that is the basic definition of Vaishnava. So many people, they may be inclined to chant the names of Vishnu due to some good, we can say, good pious background. Last night we were performing Hari Sankirtan in the bazaar in Kampari. And some people, they started to dance and chant. Pious. So that is good fortune. But people should hear also. Because if we only chant, but we don't understand why we are chanting, in detail, if we don't understand, then you won't get the actual result of chanting. Siddhanta alashtam anartha charana.
One who is lazy in understanding Siddhanta,
Bhakti Siddhanta,
he cannot give up, he cannot come out of Anartha. Anartha means Kaam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, Jara Asakti, material attachment. Ishvara Ham Aham Bhogi, Siddho Ham Balavan Sukhi, the demonic attitude of thinking, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, powerful, and happy. Dambho, Darpo, Vinanascha, Krodha, Parishamevacha, Agyana, Chabhijatacha, Partha, Sangadam, Asura. The one may have the pious tendency to chant the Lord's names, yet still also be infected by the impious tendency to be arrogant, proud, conceited, egoistic, and in this way continue in illusion. Therefore one has to hear, study Shastra, and associate with and hear from devotees so that we can understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. Otherwise there are many people promoting Bhagavad Gita. It's quite popular. There are, for children in the schools, they have Bhagavad Gita shloka recitation competitions organized by one certain mission, some kind of Ananda mission. There are so many Anandas. So people think this is something very good, but it's good to learn Gita shlokas. But if we can really understand one shloka as it is, that will make our life perfect. But to understand one shloka perfectly, we'll have to understand everything. What is the meaning? What does it mean to be a pure devotee of Krishna? The great acharyas that come to the world, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, were preaching Krishna consciousness. Rup Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Srijit Gopal Bhatta, Dasya Raghunath. We should study their lives. See, they are acharyas. They teach by their very lives. So we should see what they're teaching. How are they living? What is their life? What are they doing? Krishna Kirtana, Gana Natana Paro. They're always engaged in Krishna Kirtan and dancing. They were completely detached from material happiness. Chakra, Turnama, Shesha, Mangalapati, Shainim, Sadak, Tuchavat. Even though they all came from very high class aristocratic families, they gave it all up as insignificant. Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kokarunaya Kopina Kantashita. And to benefit the whole world, the people who are falling in Maya, thinking that this aristocratic society is very meaningful, they gave it all up as insignificant and accepted Kopin and Kanta. Kopin, Langoto, Longcloth. And Kanta, do they, in the villages they probably stay, in the towns they come. You know this Kanta? It means this kind of blanket made from old cloth. All the torn cloth, you put it all together and sew it up and like that. It's for poor people. So these were their possessions. Kopin Kanta. That's all. They accepted that. For the sake of teaching others, we should see their lives, how they are living, how they sacrifice for Krishna. They're very serious. This means very serious about Krishna consciousness. How they're very serious to help others. We should study the lives of the acharyas. They did not come to teach us mixed bhakti. They did not come to teach us live very happily in this world and chant Hare Krishna. They didn't come to teach. We might say that in the beginning. Live happily and chant Hare Krishna.
But rather we should tell others that there is no happiness in this material world. What we conceive of as happiness is the trap to keep us in repeated birth and death. Just like the fish is swimming in the water and sees, oh, there's a nice worm in the water, let me eat that, and goes and goes, oh, and he's caught on the hook. Or the deer is in the forest and hears very sweet flute music, and comes, oh, that's so nice, and comes closer and closer, and comes so close, and then the person playing the flute puts it down, picks up the bow and arrow, and shoots. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the different senses can catch us, hearing, tasting, smelling. The bee goes to the lotus flower and is enjoying this nectar. And then the sun sets and closes up and is caught inside, finished. So in this way, Maya is pulling us. Maya looks very nice, but the result is just the opposite. So we should tell, there's no happiness in this material world. There is happiness. This morning, listening to that cassette, Prabhupada was explaining that verse. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. The only person who's happy in this world is the devotee of Krishna. He says the whole world is very happy. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this material world, Dukhayama Shashvata. Everything here is miserable and temporary. But Prabhupada says what he says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, this world is full of happiness. Is he contradicting Krishna? No, for who is that world full of happiness? Yad karuna kataksha vaibhavatam tam gaurameva stumaha. One who has got this little glance of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they see. They are absorbed in the happiness of Krishna consciousness. So we have to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, from devotees studying subject matter very carefully. I was suggesting to Ananda Gauranga Prabhu that now we have, Krishna provided nice facility. There are already so many devotees in this area, but there's not been any systematic training that he could start to give. In our temples, usually we have Gita class in the evening, but there are systematic classes. So that I was saying it's not to be studied like in the college, but it can be also studied systematically, but not exactly in an academic way, but in the manner of learning this knowledge so that we can apply it in our lives for our spiritual benefit. So I was suggesting that once or twice a week we could have. Now we're having more and more in our society. Prabhupada wanted this actually, that there would be systematic instruction in Bhagavad Gita. The Bhakti Shastri course, he said there should be study of Bhagavad Gita, Sri Upanishad, Sri Upadeshamrita, and the first part of Nectar of Devotion. That's what Prabhupada designated as the syllabus for Bhakti Shastri course. Then the next stage was Bhakti Vaibhav, first 6 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, systematically studied, taking notes, writing, questions, answers, exams. Next, Bhakti Vedanta. Next six cantos of Bhagavad Gita. And then Bhakti Sarvabhoma. Topmost, and that comes to Chaitanya Charitamrita. As one of my godbrothers was suggesting, for the highest level of study, we could have the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. That might seem like very simple. Chaitanya Charitamrita also seems very simple.
but very deep. Whatever is expressed throughout the Shastra is given in the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. That again, that can be understood on different levels, either very simply or how deep. When we've been through all Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then we can maybe begin to appreciate the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Anyway, we can begin to sing them. But we can actually understand when we've been through the Bhakti Shastra. So this Bhakti Shastra, that is essential to understand. Without that, we cannot properly understand what is Krishna consciousness. So that we have to study very carefully. All these shastras. Hear from the proper source. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
If we read Prabhupada,
you can understand. I couldn't understand it without the help of devotees. You can understand. Whether you can understand. Maybe. Generally not. But we may understand at some level, but I'm seeing many people are misunderstanding, because what happens when we read anything, we read it through our present conception, isn't it? Whatever thoughts and ideas we have accrued in this life and previous lives, we bring that to a subject matter. And we tend to judge it in terms of that. And according to our different biases, just like we may read in the newspaper, India defeats Pakistan in cricket. And the Indians will think very good. And the Pakistanis will think very bad. It's the same news, but according to our bias, we will think it's good or bad. So the nature of the mind, sankalpa vikalpa, to accept everything, that simply acceptance and rejection. So unless we're trained in understanding what is Krishna consciousness, then our tendency will be to accept that which we like and to reject that which we think is not favorable for our sense gratification. We bring to our reading, even the Prabhupada's books, our concepts of sense gratification. So therefore, along with reading, training is required. That's always there. Actually, Shastra, Swadhyaya is there, personal study. But that is subsidiary to personal training. One is supposed to hear from and be trained. That was the traditional system. The young boys would go to Gurukul, and maybe they would marry, mostly they would marry, or they'd come, or they'd stay in the ashram. So that is lacking in modern life. Most people are taking to Krishna consciousness after they've already been to the Asurakul, the modern education system, which fills our head with so much rubbish. And we're seeing at the present time in our society, many people, they want to adjust Prabhupada's teachings to the asuric way of thinking. Actually. So, we can get a basic idea. But association is very important. Sangat sanjayate kama. According to our association, our desires develop. So association always, throughout Shastra, proper association is always recommended. Prabhupada writes in one purport that without association with devotees, one's Krishna consciousness can never develop properly. So that's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna bhakti mool hoy sadhu sangha. It's very simple Bengali, you can understand. Krishna bhakti mool hoy sadhu sangha. Krishna bhakti janma teho punar mukhya anga. The very root of Krishna bhakti is association with devotees. And even after one has, one's Krishna consciousness is awakened, association with devotees is still essential. So association means especially with advanced devotees, those who have advanced to different systems, Abhyartha, Kala, Vam, doesn't want all time spent in Krishna's service. Shanti, he tolerates different material conditions and goes on with Krishna consciousness. So many symptoms are there. So we need to associate, especially in the primary stage. If we don't get good association, then we can never really come up to the higher stage. When we become more adept, then we can find Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati. Tasyaham napanashami sachame napanashati. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and every, and everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. So one who's either from previous birth or from training in this life has become experienced in Krishna consciousness can find Krishna everywhere. But for one who is not, they can't find Krishna anywhere. So Shastra and association with devotees helps us to find Krishna, to begin to locate, to understand, yes, here is Krishna, here is Krishna, here is Krishna. Prabhupada said he saw, when the bombs were dropping on Calcutta in the Second World War, Prabhupada said, I saw this is Krishna. Everyone thought this is something horrible. Prabhupada said, this is Krishna in another form. Everywhere he saw Krishna. His business was spoiled. His servant stole all the money. He got a telegram. Prabhupada saw, this is Krishna. It's Krishna's will. So if we can develop that, when we become more advanced, then we can see Krishna everywhere. That example Prabhupada gave, we have to learn to fly our own plane. In the beginning, one is trained. When flying a plane, one is trained. But at some point you have to go and fly the plane yourself. So if we're trained properly, we'll fly back to Godhead. If not, we'll crash. Indian Air Force. Style. Sorry? Perspective. Yeah, I can't hear actually. Yes, exactly. How do we deal with spiritual perspective which overlaps with the material perspective? This is the whole point. Thank you for asking me. That means confusion. We're not clear what is what. That's why we need the training to differentiate, first of all, to differentiate between what is spirit and what is matter. What is pleasing to Krishna and what is not pleasing to Krishna. Krishna consciousness means to act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. And material consciousness means to act in a way that I think is pleasing for me, but it's not actually pleasing for me, it's actually the cause of my bondage in material life. So this discrimination we have to develop. That's why this training is needed. That's why even one may be apparently in Krishna consciousness, but not. As Prabhupada writes in the purport to this Ashada Dhana Purusha verse, that there are many persons who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness, but actually are not. So you might think that, just like I was saying, Vaishnava family, you might think, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm Krishna conscious, I'm born in a Madhva family. So you might assume, but what is Krishna conscious is not judged by us, it's judged by Krishna. So we have to learn what Krishna wants. And that we have to learn from his devotees. That's why, again, proper association is required. Now, Prabhupada has kindly extended his association to us through his books. But that also, we need some help to understand. I mean, I don't know, this Bhagavad Gita is not so easy. We say it's the preliminary study. It's not so easy to understand. Even Krishna himself says it's not easy to understand. What is that? Kama no hyapi bodhavyam. How does that go? Gahana kama no gatihi. Kama no hyapi bodhavyam, bodhavyam chavi kama no. Kama no stu bodhavyam. Kama no... Gahana kama no gatihi. Krishna says the intricacies of action, inaction, and wrong action, learned persons are bewildered in understanding this. So it's not such easy thing. We need it explained to us. Krishna just goes very briefly through very, very deep questions of Arjuna. King tad brahma kin adhyatma. What is Brahma? What is Adhyatma? And Krishna just very quickly answers. A very deep subject. So we need some help in going through this, then we can gradually understand. What is required is a change of consciousness from what I like to do to what Krishna wants us to do. And not only what we do, but with the attitude with which we do it. Just like Garudakacha was fighting. When he was fighting with the Pandavas, Krishna said, he's killed, good. He's a demon. Good he died. If he hadn't died, he would have remained alive, he would have caused so much trouble in the world. Bhishma is fighting against Krishna. He's considered a great devotee, Mahajan. So, it's not just the activity, but it's the attitude. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. Essential words in Prabhupada's preface to Upadeshamrita. Bhaktam Krishnam Palantaya Yame Bhakta Akrachit. One who offers with bhakti, Krishna will accept. So we should learn what are the proper procedures and with what attitude to do them. Procedures, just like I have this book, Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. So there I've summarized the basic procedures, what to do. But what the actual attitude should be doing in it, that we have to imbibe by association with devotees. That is essential. You should know the proper procedures also. So yeah, in one sense bhakti is very simple, but to change of consciousness, that requires very serious application on our part. Very serious. Otherwise, we can be performing the activities but not actually making solid advancement. So Prabhupada gave these books. We should study them. That will help us very much. And be guided in our study. And so many things we have to perform. Kirtan, study the books. when we become a little more mature, preach, perform so many services. It's a big commitment. But the result is we get Krishna. And the result of not being committed to Krishna consciousness is we get another mother and father. Again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Here we have this. Vasudeva Sutam Devam. Who wrote this? Shankaracharya. So this. Punarapi maranam, punarapi maranam. Punapi Jangam, Punapi Maran is also from Shankara Sampradaya. Punapi Jani, Jagtari Shayana. So these are well known. So, of course, we don't follow the philosophy of Shankaracharya. This is good. And the Punapi Jangam, Punapi Maran, that's also true. But they want to avoid birth and death by avoiding Krishna, which is not possible. The idea that this material world is miserable, they have defined correctly. But they are avoiding Krishna. So, it becomes worse than useless. Is that time for Aarti now? All right, Hare Krishna.